It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Little bit of news on the Texans and the Astros, actually. One, Kamari Lassiter, rookie cornerback, second round rookie cornerback, going to be a starter, or not going to be, let's just call him now, a starter for this team. We were questioning, hey, should they play? Do you want to see them play? Will they play? All different variations of a very similar question. Kamari Lassiter, not playing.
Yeah.
Not playing.
So if you didn't think he was a starter, if you were unsure he was a starter before, he's a starter.
Yeah, I mean.
And so real quick, I'm sorry, but in a weird way, you know, I was talking earlier, like, I would ask him because, you know, he's been chomping at the bit to want to play. He's a rookie. Of course, he wants to get into a uniform and get into any kind of game possible. I would have asked him, hey, you want to go a series? And if he said yes, I'd have let him. But in a weird way, this is actually even better, you know, in terms of how I feel about him as the starter, because there's no doubt. Like, there's no doubt here. There's no doubt, more importantly, there. He is your, like, I don't know a whole lot about who's going to be where week one at Indianapolis, but I know Kamari Lassiter is starting at cornerback opposite Derek Stingley.
Hey, I gotta be honest about something here real quick. There is something about, like, traumatic injuries in either preseason or training camp that just kind of are a shock to my system. And I came into this show and into some of these segments with one thought, and between, like, putting them down on paper and us actually talking about them, I saw Deontay Foreman. This did not come up in our Around the NFL segment, but Deontay Foreman had a head injury in practice. He's with the Browns now, if I'm not mistaken. And there was a head injury in practice where apparently experienced neck pain. They had to call a hospital or the ambulance. And it was a whole ordeal. It wasn't until that happened to where I was like, you know what? Never mind.
Yeah.
All of the starters. I know I wanted to see this guy. I wanted to see that guy. Bubble wrap all the starters. I don't want to see him. Now, I kept the same energy instead once we came into the show and just, like, stuck with the same themes. But that did get me thinking. I wonder how much it, you know, things like that, like current events, if you will, influence the decision for guys who are on the bubble. Not the CJ Strouds of the world. Not the Will Andersons of the world, like people who Stephon Diggs, people you know have no business playing in this game. But people who are on that bubble, like what we talked about, Kenyon Green, Kamari Lassiter. We had the Jalen Petrie conversation. Kamari Lassiter, clearly not on that bubble.
Yeah.
But I do wonder how current events impact the thinking for guys like
this. I mean, maybe, for coaches. Who knows? All I know is, like, this is leaving no doubt. This is really leaving no doubt whatsoever when it comes to him.
I said it the other day, Lopez, that when the depth chart came out, that's one camp storyline that ended. Well, I feel like maybe we tried to keep it alive for a little bit longer. It's over with now.
Yeah.
Right? It's 100% over with now. Also, finding out from Brian McTaggart that Kyle Tucker, nowhere close. Not even close to a rehab assignment. There is not an end in sight to this Kyle Tucker-less Astros outfit, if you will.
We said it last week. We can say it in unison again. Dude broke his leg. I
mean, I've never seen him react to anything like that. Seen him foul a ball off his leg before. I mean, dude broke his leg.
Yeah.
You and I had this joke actually as well. Like, hey, the next time something catastrophic happens, bone Bruce.
Yeah.
Bone Bruce.
Yeah.
Look, Dak Prescott's leg is dangling off the bone. Yeah. Bone Bruce. Just call it that.
Is it too early to make a Joe Theismann comment?
We're Joe Theismann.
That was a hell of a bruise.
The weekend, however.
I'm sensing it was a little too soon still.
Probably so. Joe Theismann, bone bruise.
Yeah.
Paul George, yeah. Bone Bruce, Kevin Ware, Bone Bruce.
Oh God!
Just everybody with a with a horrible, catastrophic injury, call it a Bone Bruce. But the big topic, the reason why we're here, we're gonna watch football. Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne, Clint Sterner, the usuals are gonna break down football pregame, postgame, in between. There will be a football game, but nothing is bigger than Andre Johnson right now.
No,
that's the story. That's why we're here. He was the first. The Texans are relevant for different reasons right now, for more current reasons. But he was the first to make them relevant, the first relevant Texan. And I feel like the timing of this, them becoming relevant again and their first relevant Texan going into the hall is perfect. And this is a great opportunity for us to give Andre Johnson his flowers. I've been saying this. I love the fact that Andre Johnson did not have to wait until he was an old man or until his career was sort of forgotten. Like you had to be a certain age to know about Andre Johnson. That's not really the case right now. Like we all were here for it. I am so glad that he gets to experience that at a reasonable time.
Yeah, that to me, that was important today because tomorrow we're going to be talking about the game and some of the things we saw and didn't like or did like or whatever. Then all of a sudden you get into next week and it sort of gets lost. And you know this, and Santiago knows this. The first thing I put on the doc last night when we're starting to kind of piddle around with today's show is let's not get lost in anything else. Let's not get lost in a lot of other things today. It's Andre Johnson. Andre Johnson is the reason we're all here. It's the reason they're playing the game. It's the reason, as I mentioned earlier, that the Texans became relevant as soon as they did. And the other thing I was thinking about is like, and this is talking to the old heads, you got to be probably at least pushing 50 to remember Bob Lilly.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
But he was the Cowboys' Andre Johnson. Like, he was the first draft pick. He was actually literally their first ever. Andre wasn't, but he was their first draft pick that kind of saw the bad times, went through the, you know, the transition, developed into a Hall of Famer, and was a Cowboys lifer. And you know what they call him to this day? Just even the youngest Cowboys fans say, who's Mr. Cowboy? They'll all say Bob Lilly. So that's why I didn't want to get lost in it. Andre, J.J. Watt is a better player. You know, he will be remembered as a better player at his position than Andre Johnson. But Andre Johnson, to me, was Mr. Texan. Yeah. But like that's the best way I could put it.
Well, also, I think part of that, and not to get too much into the J.J., I'm not trying to pit them against each other, but J.J. also played a position that I don't think he relied on somebody else as much for him to be excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Like Andre, and this is part of the story of Andre Johnson, he was able to be great despite the other side of what's needed for him to do his job not ever being great. Whereas J.J. could just be individually great, and he didn't need his inside guy to be, you know, whatever, right? Like Andre was able to do this despite the fact that there was at times a turnstile at quarterback and that his best quarterback was one Matt Schaub. So, like, I think that it was – you know, it's harder for a wide receiver to be great if your quarterback ain't bleak, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying Matt Schaub wasn't bleak, but his quarterback situation throughout his career was less than ideal for a Hall of Fame talent. But I'm absolutely right there with you, man.
Yeah.
And when you talk about representation and identity, I mean, nobody is that more than Andre Johnson, like wearing it on his back, the pride that he has in the organization, never abandoning the situation, even when it seemed like it would have been reasonable to abandon it, like never really truly turning his back on it. Maybe even at times when he wanted to.
Oh, he said it.
Oh, but he couldn't
in the Astros
really.
Game.
Yeah, man. Like it's a.
I didn't want to get drafted by this team. Okay, welcome to the Hall of Fame.
Well, and that was in the beginning. That's in the beginning. But then also think about how things turned out after he was no longer playing. How things ended
They turned on him or they turned on whatever. He quit on them.
That's
and they
at least
quit on
three
him.
Seminal moments that we can point out where
ahead,
it could have gone south with Andre
Johnson.
I know you
can't help yourself.
No. I was thinking about this today because I'm trying to think of some things for tomorrow's Payne and Pendergast. By the way, good seeing you guys.
Good seeing you as well.
Very excited for tonight. I was thinking about this yesterday because we'll obviously talk about Andre a lot tomorrow because Saturday's the big day. And like I think of Andre Johnson moments, and it's unfortunate he didn't play in more important games to where those moments really get magnified. You know, Astro fans can talk about all the moments with Altuve and everybody else probably have something to do with a postseason run.
Yeah.
But one of the moments for Andre that popped into my head was in the horrible 2013 season when he walked off the field with about a minute to go in the Raiders game
because
fed up with everything.
Yep. Yeah.
I don't know that you could name another Texan, including J.J. Watt.
Get away with it.
That could get away with it. The fans were like, we get it.
Yeah.
We get it, Andre. We get it.
Well, and he also barked at Schaub before he walked off, right?
Yeah.
So it gives the bark at Schaub, who, of course, this is 2013. So we all know what Schaub 2013 represents. It was just like getting worse and worse and worse. And so by the end of it, of course, you're like just exasperated. You're just beyond beside
yourself.
Not only
got away with it, but was supported vehemently.
He was the voice of the fan that day.
Yes,
you know,
exactly.
I know this weekend's going to be about different moments than that. But when you get
let's not get lost in what this is really about.
This
is about Andre.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm glad you pointed that out because I remember it vividly. And normally you would feel like, oh, man, that guy's quitting on his team or he's got a bad attitude.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But
maybe he should have done the Antonio Brown.
Yeah, maybe so.
Took the shirt off and did jumping jacks.
But the fact that he didn't.
He should have. It would have been a good heat check.
Hey, man, it shows you how much equity he had built up and that he wasn't just like performing or putting on, even beating up Courtland Finnegan.
Yeah.
It wasn't just because, hey, I'm a hothead and this is, you know, I want to whoop his ass.
Yeah.
It was, this my man's had it coming and it's time to, it's just time to do this.
Well, that's
in front of the whole arena.
That's why I said, like, earlier when we went through his top three moments in my view, and you can listen to him on the Odyssey app, if you want to go back and listen, I didn't even put that in my top 10 because we all know Andre and I've been around him since he was drafted. He doesn't want that. I'm sure he signed a million autographs. I'm sure he embraces, you know, people laughing or saying, you know, you kicked that dude's butt. Andre Johnson, he doesn't want to be that. He never wanted to be that.
I know, and yet I want a statue of that picture that Brandon's holding up built
but
outside
that's not,
the stadium.
To me, that's not even a top 10, and I know it's not a top 10 for him.
No.
Let me bruh you in a positive way. Bruh. Look at this photo.
Yeah.
Look how epic of a photo. Yeah. Courtland Finnegan's face is in the grass.
Yeah.
And Andre Johnson is actually showing some restraint.
Yeah.
He's like, should I kill him? No, I can't kill him. There's thousands of people that are watching.
I don't know, man.
I'm just going to hit him upside the head a couple of times.
That was a paused video. I'm pretty sure that if we hit play, we ain't seeing restraint. It just looks like restraint because that's where it's paused.
Yeah.
He was raining blows down on him.
What's your number one? I gave three. I don't know if you were listening earlier. Number three was the Jacksonville, because it was a slip screen, bubble screen.
Yep.
Goes all the way for a
touch.
That's
in my top three.
That was number three.
Yep.
Number two was the then Redskins game tying catch on a Hail Mary of sorts from Schaub.
It was fourth and 20 and that one.
And number one, I said this earlier, I'm pretty proud. Like the morning after, I was doing morning shows then, I said, I believe it was Nick. What year was it? Anyway, it was a morning show. It was either Vandermeer or Nick. I came in, I said, when Andre Johnson gets into the Hall of Fame, that catch and bulldozing run he made against the Arizona Cardinals.
Those are my top three.
2010 or 9?
I'll show you the rundown. Those are my top three.
Those are my top three. We played the audio if you want the audio.
Yeah, you just saved me about 10 minutes
ago.
We
played. We have it.
Awesome.
But I said that's going to be his Hall of Fame moment.
I call it the ping pong, or the sure I'm sorry, enough. The pinball play,
the last
where he just
guy
bounces
to,
off
the
everybody.
Last guy to bounce off of him was, I think, Antrell Roll. There's so many roles.
Backwards.
There's Myron and there's Samari and there's
backwards.
Antrell. I think it was Antrell. Might have been Samari. One of the roles, R-O-L-L-E, who went to Miami, was the last guy to bounce off of
the
him.
The first guy weighed 240 pounds.
Dude, it's a wild play, man.
They looked like children.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.